Hello, my Walking with Jesus friends. Growth in any organization or endeavor is usually a wonderful thing, right? But usually, growth brings challenges. Did you know that happens even when God is at work and a spiritual movement is growing rapidly? I'm sure we all understand those growth challenges can provide fertile ground for the dark kingdom to disrupt what God is doing and breed discord, division, and even conflict among God's people who are excited about the movement growth. Sadly, too many wonderful spiritual movements experiencing great forward momentum impacting many people and cities have fallen apart because of unmanaged turmoil in the challenges of growth. Today, let's learn how to navigate those challenges in a God-honoring way, maintaining the integrity of the spiritual movement while adapting to change necessary because of growth. You'll recall this Jesus-following spiritual movement in Jerusalem started with a little more than 100 close friends and followers of Jesus who gathered together for 10 days following Jesus' ascension from the Mount of Olives outside Jerusalem and his return to heaven. Now let's be honest, my friends. As those folks met together, it was likely a combination of grief and excitement, confusion and consolation, discouragement and determination. Jesus was gone. They couldn't hardly believe it, but they had seen him elevate into the air and disappear into the clouds. Jesus was not coming back, at least not anytime soon. The adventure of living with God here among them was over. Now, they were left to try and figure out what to do next without Jesus. Jesus had told them to wait in Jerusalem until he sent the Holy Spirit, but he didn't tell them how long that would take or how it would happen. So they did. Can you imagine how long those 10 days seemed? Finally, the Holy Spirit came in great power on the day of Pentecost, and those 120 were anointed and empowered by the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the truths of the gospel of Jesus in languages they did not know, but languages which were known by thousands who had come to Jerusalem from all over the Roman Empire for Pentecost. Then Peter was powerfully emboldened by the Holy Spirit and spoke to a huge crowd of inquiring people, explaining Jesus and this Pentecost miracle to them, and 3,000 people responded, believed in Jesus, and were baptized. We can presume that within a day or two, exponential growth of this spiritual movement had happened, from 120 friends and followers of Jesus to 3,000 excited new believers in Jesus, all anxious to learn as much and as fast as they could. The apostles and close friends of Jesus did the best they could telling Jesus' story, explaining what they knew and had experienced themselves. Day after day, they taught, and with occasional miracles, the power of the Holy Spirit validated what they were teaching, and these new believers became passionate followers, disciples of Jesus. Then persecution rose up against them, and as we've seen in the past few days, the Holy Spirit responded by emboldening these followers of Jesus, freeing them from prison, and even giving them the courage and physical stamina to withstand flogging. Now we come to Acts chapter 6, and Luke writes, "In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, rather than the momentum of growth declining in response to persecution, imprisonment, and even torture by flogging, the momentum grew. More and more people were attracted to this spiritual movement and placed their trust in Jesus and experienced the work of the Holy Spirit in their own lives. But growth brings challenges, and soon it was becoming unmanageable. Widows were being overlooked, lost in the crowds, and because no government social system existed to help them, as we saw in Acts chapter 2 and 4, this spiritual movement was trying to care for these dear widows and others in need, but the scope of the task was simply getting too big. Look at Acts chapter 6, verse 2. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word." The 12 are, of course, the 11 original disciples, less Judas, who had killed himself after betraying Jesus, plus Matthias, whom they had selected in those days immediately after Jesus' ascension. Remember that in Acts chapter 1, verse 15 to 26? Because the total number of new believers in Jesus by this time may well have exceeded 7,000 people, we must assume the phrase, all the disciples, means a large number of those deeply committed followers of Jesus who would be able to engage in finding God's solution to this problem. Please note the priority the apostles placed on their unique role in continuing to lead this rapidly growing spiritual movement. No one else knew Jesus or his teachings as they did. Jesus had very specifically commissioned them to teach them to obey all I have commanded you, Matthew 28:20. They also had watched Jesus and the priority that he placed on frequent prayer, conversation with his heavenly Father. They learned it was imperative that they also spend extended time talking with Jesus in prayer to be sure they understood how he wanted them to lead this almost out of control spiritual movement, which was growing faster than anyone had imagined. They knew it would not take long, and it would no longer be contained to Jerusalem. It would spread out in all directions, to cities and towns far away. And then what? How would they manage it then? Also, please note the criteria established for finding seven men who would take on the huge challenge of caring for these many widows and others in need. Seven men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. So let me ask you, my friends, all around the world, when you face challenges in your organization, your church, your family, what criteria do you use for finding the people who can help you? This was a strategic defining moment in history. A precedent was set here. Men who are full of the Spirit and wisdom. Isn't that the greatest need of our world? Every country, every city, every business or organization, every government, every church needs those types of leaders who will manage and solve problems because they are full of the Spirit and wisdom. Are you one of those types of people? How does a person become someone like that? Would you agree it starts here? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, Psalm 111, verse 10. And then it grows like this. Teach me your ways, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name, Psalm 86:11. And then it continues like this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways honor him, and he will direct your paths, Proverbs 3:5-6. Do you get it? The Word of God and an authentic, Holy Spirit-filled relationship with Jesus is life-changing, and it produces people full of the Spirit and wisdom. So, are you on that journey, my friend? If so, you are becoming one of the most valuable people on this planet, a God-empowered problem solver, just like those seven men in Jerusalem named in Acts chapter 6, verse 5. Finally, have you heard this phrase? It's really important to keep the main thing the main thing. That's what the apostles did. They made a very strategic decision. They wanted desperately to help those dear widows, but they knew it was vital to the entire movement that they focused on doing what they were uniquely qualified and commissioned by Jesus to do as the leaders of this spiritual movement. If you're in any leadership role, can you discern how to say no to really good things that need to be done in order to keep your focus on the things that only you can do and need to do as a leader? Can you identify others, commission and equip them to do the things which need to be done to sustain your movement while relieving you to focus on the things that only you are able to do? For the apostles, their unique calling was praying to be sure they were hearing from Jesus and doing what he wanted them to do in leading. Also, teaching God's word, especially the truths of Jesus, which had not yet been written down, but they had heard Jesus teach them. Remember, Jesus had promised the Holy Spirit would help them remember what Jesus had said so they could repeat it and teach it to many new believers in Jesus, and the movement would continue to grow. You'll find that promise in John 14:26. Now, in closing today, my friends, what spiritual movement are you a part of? What is your role in that movement? What is God doing in your city with that movement? May I urge us all to spend some time today taking a close look at Acts chapter 6, verse 1 to 7, and asking the Holy Spirit to give us a fresh perspective on what Jesus is trying to do in our city and what the role is that He wants each of us to assume in that movement of God. Let's remember that most of those in the Jerusalem spiritual movement were just beginning the journey with Jesus. It was all new to them, and maybe that's you too. So here's a great song that may help you with that. The link, of course, is in my notes, and God bless you as you worship and as you seek Jesus' guidance of you.